Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello, and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and it is my pleasure to invest this time with you to bring you some sparks that could be the ignition point for positive change in your life. Thank you for investing the valuable minutes of your life to learn with me in this segment. I am very excited to bring you part two. Before we do that, I want to encourage you, if you listened last week, to take action on something that you learned from Frank about changing language and changing lives. As my regular listeners know, that's a passion with me, as is the topic of this show as well. I'm very excited today to do part two in a three-part series with Cynthia Rogers, who is the president of Rogers Associates. And I'd like to say welcome, Cynthia.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back.
For those of you who may have missed the first segment with Cynthia, it aired on July 6th, and you'll find it in the archives. It was the show that focused on style in the Style Meets Trust connection, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that if you haven't yet. Today, we will be focused on the trust piece of When Style Meets Trust, and this is recorded due to Cynthia's schedule. She will be live with us on August 10th, talking about what happens when you put the two together. So I invite you to put it on your calendar now and join us on August 10th, live for the Style Meets Trust finale. Before we go further, who is Cynthia and why do you love training and development?
Oh, my goodness. Cynthia is a native New Yorker, currently living about 50 miles north of Chicago. And my roots in training and development started a long time ago as a junior high and high school math and science teacher. And I think my passion was always in helping people become better at whatever their passion was. Teaching certainly enabled me to do that. Loved working with high schoolers in subjects that they either loved or didn't love, math and science. Left the teaching world, the academic world, to go into the corporate world. I do have a math undergraduate as well as a undergraduate and graduate degrees in education. And I entered the corporate world as a programmer. And my bosses I love to tell the story that my bosses were so excited that they had a technical person who could speak a full sentences that they had me teaching the computer programs that I wrote. So as I went from corporation to corporation, I worked my way up and moved away from the teaching of the computers more into the teaching of what's now known as the soft skills, and that's the leadership development, the professional development, and personal development. So about 95% of the work that Rogers & Associates does is in the field of leadership development, helping leaders develop their skills to become better at it. About 5% I still work with computer training, teaching PCs, et cetera. So it's been a lot of fun. As I said, my passion is helping people to improve.
And I think that's why Cynthia and I enjoy a wonderful, collegial, mutually beneficial connection, because we share that passion. And Cynthia and I, while we are both licensed trainers of psychogeometrics, which she talked about on July 6th, Cynthia also has a certification with another program that we'll be talking about today. But before we get there, Cynthia, how did you come to connect style and trust?
Very interesting. When I did my work, when I became certified in psychogeometrics, by the way, I'm certified not only in the behavioral style program psychogeometrics, but also Myers-Briggs. And with my work with my clients, I've become acquainted with a lot of other behavioral styles assessments like DISC and COLORS, et cetera. But in my work with that, I went into trust. I became certified in a trust program that we'll talk about in more detail in just a second. And I could see connections of how different behavioral styles will look for different things in people. And last week's seminar, we talked about, well, how do you act or how do you flex your style to complement and supplement the other behavioral styles? And then it just dawned on me that the different behavioral styles look for different things when they're going to trust. And the interesting thing about trust, and I'll get to it in a little bit more detail, is that everybody has a different definition of trust, although the usual definition of trust is somebody does what they say they're going to do. And my eyes were really opened when I became acquainted with this model, that trust is so much more.
So then let's move into the model that you became certified in, and introduction to what else there is to trust beyond people just doing what they say they're going to do. Can you tell us about the model that you use?
The model was created by Cynthia Olmsted, and her company was called TrustWorks. It's now part of the Ken Blanchard group of training programs. So Cynthia is still a advisor and a consultant to Ken Blanchard. But her work, and that she devised the model through much research with companies and many, many interviews with people talking about this whole thing of trust. And she came up with a four-element model, and she was able to relate these things to a model that is really very memorable, and it's literally the ABCDs of trust, the ABCD model of trust, building and maintaining trust. And there are specific courses around that. Last week when I talked about psychogeometrics, there really aren't courses that have been developed by psychogeometrics per se. Each individual consultant is able to use the psychogeometrics behavioral assessment as they see fit. But this particular model does have very specific courses. There's a course that is devoted to the individual contributor. It's called Myself as a Trust Builder. There's another course that's called Leader as a Trust Builder, and then there's a third course for teams on building trust within a team, and that's basically for teams that have been stuck. It's a wonderful model, it's easy to remember, and it's very, very intuitive.
Well, then let's dive into those four elements of trust. Can you tell us about those?
I will. I think it's important for us to realize exactly how much the lack of trust is costing companies. In the 2010 State of the Union address, I believe it was, President Obama said, we have a trust deficit in the United States. And unfortunately, in a study that came out by Watson Wyatt Work USA in 2002, only 39% of the employees that were surveyed, all the U.S. companies, say that they trust the senior leaders of their firm. So this is something that is really, really at a deficit and really, really a problem. The lack of trust is really a problem. And people, when they're interviewed, exit interviews, they talk about, you know, pay and benefits is a motivation or non-motivation. Studies have proved, a Masterwork survey has proved that the primary factor affecting turnover is whether or not a manager developed a trusting relationship with their staff members. That is just amazing, absolutely amazing. And if there is no trust in the manager, and the manager does not believe in or is oblivious to the employee's needs and does not recognize the growing dissatisfaction, it's because of lack of trust. It's costing companies hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's inefficient or excessive work procedures. If there's no trust, decisions are questioned. There's certainly a reduction in creativity and commitment. And then in turnover, because of the lack of trust between an individual contributor and the manager and the company itself, the cost of recruitment, the retraining, and the replacement costs are astronomical. It's also been proven that the three-year total rate of return the shareholders for companies that have trust is three times higher than companies that have low trust levels. So three times higher ROI for companies to shareholders for companies that have trust than companies that don't have trust. So it's really costing us a lot of money and a lot of time.
Wow, that's powerful data that
definitely said there is a need for tools and strategies for how in the world can we increase and improve trust.
Trust is the foundation of everything, relationships, confidence building, productivity, risk-taking, creativity, innovation, loyalty to organizations, and the list just goes on and on and on.
Wow. So let's explore the model that you use, Cynthia, and what
okay.
those four elements are.
Very good. But before we do that, again, this is going to be interactive like the discussion that we broadcast a couple of weeks ago. I want people to get out a pencil and piece of paper or mentally make a note of behaviors that people think that are trustworthy behaviors and behaviors that people think are not trustworthy. We call those the trustworthy behaviors are trust boosters, and the untrustworthy behaviors we're going to call trust busters. So let's give everybody just a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds there to make a mental note or a written note of trust boosters and trust busters.
I just imagine that there's music going on while you're doing this. Trust boosters.
Trust boosters and trust busters. And we're going to use this list a little bit later toward the end of the show. Okay, I think I mentioned to you before that trust means different things to different people, and it's based on our values, it's based on our perceptions, it's based on our behaviors, and when you tune in on August 10th, you'll find out that the definition of trust is based on your behavioral style, what people look for in order to trust someone. Well, the nice thing about this particular model is that it allows for a common language. So communication can now be held without attacking or demoralizing. Communication is now opening the doors and encouraging dialogue. And people can now communicate about issues that impact performance, motivation, and sustainability. The four-element trust, the trust works model, is literally the ABCDs. And I'm going to go through each one of them. I'm going to tell you what the four elements are. I'll tell you what the definition is, and then I'll give you some very specific examples underneath those definitions. So the A in our trust model is people will trust you if they feel you are able to do your job. So the A in the ABCD model is for able. And the definition of able is demonstrating competence. The B stands for believable. People will trust you if they feel that you are believable. In other words, do you act with integrity? The C stands for connected. People will trust you if they feel you are connected with them, if they feel you care about them. And the D in the TrustWorks model is dependable. Do you maintain reliability? Are you reliable? So let's go back and really take a deeper dive into each one of these. Able, demonstrate competence. Think of that as three areas. Do you have expertise? Do you have results? And do you have facilitation skills? And I'll explain facilitation skills. So able, demonstrate competence, expertise. In other words, you have the skills, the experience, and the knowledge to get the job done. If those are lacking, people will tend not to trust you. The second under able, demonstrating competence, is performance results. Are goals achieved consistently? The third under able or demonstrating competence is facilitation skills. Do you have problem solving and decision making skills? B, believable, acting with integrity. The three phases, the three parts to that is honesty, value, and fair process. believable, acting with integrity, honesty, admitting when you're wrong, keeping confidences, and making ethical decisions. People will trust in you if you are believable, acting with integrity, if you have, articulate, and follow your values. And the third component of believable is fair process. Do you treat people equitably and ethically? This brings us to the third, or the C, connected, caring about others. And the three components of that are people focus, communication, and recognition. People will trust you if you care about others by having a people focus. Enjoys working with people, respecting individual differences, and being able to build personal rapport. Second, under connected, is communication. They will trust you if you are receptive to feedback, if you listen, and you use that input from others, or you consider that input from others. And the third one under connected is recognition. People will trust you if they feel you are connected, you care about them, by giving them recognition, praising their contributions, and celebrating successes. And last is the D for dependable, maintaining reliability. And the three components under dependable are responsiveness, accountability, and organization. People will trust you if they feel that you are dependable by being responsive. Do you consistently follow through on your commitments? And that's pretty much the traditional definition of trust. Dependable? They will trust you if you are dependable. In other words, are you accountable? Do you hold yourself and others accountable for your work? Or is it always somebody else's fault? And the last one under dependable is organization. Do you have effective systems for implementing your work? So that is it, the ABCDs.
My question is, I'm thinking about this and looking at the trust level either in different companies I've worked with in the past or different clients that I've had in situations they have found themselves in. In order to have trust in Dia, do you need to have all four of these elements?
Not really. And depending on what's important to you and depending on your behavioral style, one of those will rise to the top.
Okay, so if you're someone who is leading a team or in a group, realizing that all four have value to different members of your team or your staff.
Correct. So you would probably need, I mean, ideally you should have all four, ideally. But keep in mind that depending on who's in your group, will depend on what you really need, which one of those four elements you really do need to show more to certain individuals within that group.
Okay, and this is fascinating because, again, whether you are a leader or a team member or an employee or even in a relationship in your family or with your friends, you may think that you are very trustworthy and can be trusted based on being strong in or stronger in one or two of these, and maybe the one that you're weakest in is the one they value the most.
Exactly.
And the stress and the relationship or the communication or the trust.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's interesting because what happens is, and I've had people, when I give this presentation and when I take people through the training courses, I have people say that if, say, for example, they don't feel as if their leader is competent. And, first of all, I always get the feedback, wow, I never thought of trust as that. I always thought of trust as being dependable. just being dependable, doing what you say you're going to do. The whole idea of keeping confidences and acting with integrity and having values, people knew that there was some kind of a relation. I'm going to borrow a term from last week, a relation slip. They knew that there was something wrong with the relationship that they were having or the communication that they were having, but they never labeled it as trust. The feedback that I always get is like, wow, I never thought of trust as these four components. And the interesting thing, that the feedback that I get when I'm counseling my and giving the presentation to groups, that if they feel that their leader is lacking in one of them, say, for example, they're saying that they don't believe that their leader is capable or able or competent in their job, how much it overshadows the others. So they're automatically, well, I don't think that you're able to do it, therefore, you're not, in my mind, you're not believable. I don't feel like you have my best interest in mind, and you don't do what you say you're going to do. So it's amazing how one quality really overshadows all the others. You know, it's interesting because trust is like money. It takes a long time to build it and earn it, but boy, it takes one or two words or one or two actions to go into a trust deficit mode.
And I think, too, when, you know, thinking about style, because effective leaders do all four of these, and yet there are some people who are very competent, very able to do their work, but seem to have some issues with walk the talk. They'll say one thing, and are not always consistent about doing what they say they want you to do, or they're very skilled at doing the details of the job and skip the connection with the people.
Exactly.
And then there's the confusion, well, why wouldn't you trust me?
Right.
Because maybe for them that competence factor, the ability is, look, I demonstrated I can do the job.
And it's interesting because usually when you get that response from somebody, they don't truly understand. They've never been exposed to this model. Well, why don't you trust me? I can do this job. But they don't think about the other three facets and how integral components that is to building trust.
And this is a very, very four-dimensional, because there are four elements, approach, because it is more than just, are you going to do what you say you're going to do? All these factors are important. So now that we've seen the elements, what do?
I think, again, here you now have this tool in your toolbox. So you now know if you believe in the model, or if you hold sacred this particular model, now you need to do, okay, I know the four elements, so how do I need to change my behavior to show people how I am able, believable, connected, and dependable? And when we give the course, there are particular actions that you can do to strengthen each one of these components.
We know about what the four elements are. What's next?
Now that you know what the four elements are, in the beginning of the program, I had asked you to make a mental note of trust boosters and trust busters. So to really bring the definition of the ABCDs home, what I'd like you to do is take a look at your list and match the elements, the able, believable, connected, and dependable, to your trust boosters or your trust busters. And when I do this to groups, they really understand now, they get the power of the model that says, wow, I never thought about trust as being unable, or I never thought about trust as being not connected. So it really, really solidifies the connection between behavior and the four elements.
Cynthia, then looking back at my list, for example, a trust buster for me is they don't walk the talk. They
okay.
say one thing, they do something else.
Okay.
Which then means that, let's see, what would be one of the things that would be very important to me then would be believable.
Yes.
Okay. And then
for you, they're not acting with integrity.
Okay, and then
they don't value truth, or they don't value carrying out what they wish to carry out. So yes, that's it.
Well, it's funny because what I had written in the trust booster side of that was integrity and do what you say you'll do.
Yep.
And the other one that's a trust booster is to have a connection and to know some things about one another. And the trust buster is they don't know me and I don't know them.
Exactly, exactly.
So for me, that's connected.
Yes. And just to share with you what a trust buster would be is if I don't feel as if the person can do their job. So for me, able would be almost my number one. If somebody does not demonstrate competence in my eyes, I don't feel as if I can follow them as a leader.
Okay.
And audience, this is very telling, and this is a good introduction to our next show, which, and I can tell you why Melanie picked Believable, and I can tell you why I picked Able.
And that's,
stay tuned.
Again, that's August 10th is when we talk about when style meets trust.
Absolutely.
Which can really be empowering in the work that you do in your teams, with your employees, in your leadership roles, and in your personal relationships.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to challenge all of our listeners who are planning to listen to our live broadcast on August 10th is to see if they can guess, based on those two pieces of information, guess Melanie's behavioral style and guess my behavioral style.
Okay, and so yours, Cynthia, was able was your first, and for me, believable and connected were the two that were really high for me.
Yep, and the A and the D, the able and the dependable, were the two for me.
Okay. Well, a challenge. We always like those. All right. The next question for me then, and I'm thinking in terms of my role as a leader or on a team or even in my personal relationships. So let's say that I went through that the list of the different characteristics for the four elements, and I'm looking at one thing, oh, my goodness, I realized that I have some issues around dependability because, let's say, if somebody needs something from me, I may ask for deadline changes because of meeting the needs of a client, an employee, has changed the time demands.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that I could do or that our listeners could do? Is there an action that you could give maybe each area that would strengthen that element?
Absolutely. So just as a mini refresher, dependable meant maintaining reliability, and the three aspects under that are responsiveness, accountability, and organization. So if deadlines changed, maybe you don't have very good time management skills. Maybe you don't have some kind of a system for implementing work, a project plan, things of that nature. Maybe you have the support that you need to get something done. So it could be you need to brush up in time management, you need or you need to institute some organizational skills, and maybe you just need to become more accountable for your actions.
Well, and I'm thinking back, too, to something that you said on July 6th that's connected to that. You were talking about style and working with small business owners,
mm-hmm.
and talking about, that you can learn some things about their style by the key issues that they're facing. And one example was someone who was spending a lot of time with customers on the phone, was very focused on the relationships, probably more so than the details and the time.
Exactly.
For me, for example, I absolutely, if I get a call from a client or a potential client that needs my attention, that I'm dealing with that immediately. And the other thing, then I will contact people about, is there flexibility with this or not. So the examples you gave about support structures, organizational skills, in light of the style piece and blending the two, I'm really excited for August 10th. Just for me personally, as well as for my listeners, of how these two models, when combined, will form such a strong core for success.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm looking forward to that session.
So let's go through. That was dependable, some ideas for action for dependable. What about connected, if connected was the issue?
Maybe you need to, now again, connected, we're just going to do a little bit of a review. Connected means caring about others, and that was people-focused, communication, and then recognition. Maybe you just need to focus to build up your relationship side. Maybe Giving feedback isn't exactly your strength, or maybe you give feedback only when it's negative feedback as opposed to positive feedback. Maybe you need some help with communication skills, listening skills, connected. Maybe it's being unaware of what makes your people tick. And then you mentioned to that is that one of your trust busters is you didn't know them and they didn't know you. So maybe it's something like diversity training or styles or behavioral styles training just to get to know people better and being able to relate to them.
Well, and what came to mind as I was listening to your examples, as I work in management development with particularly middle managers, is that idea of no news is good news.
Uh-huh.
And so people don't feel connected without that feedback.
Exactly.
And so, you know, if your style is such that you're like, well, you know, if there's a problem, I'll let you know, then that might be an area that could be impacting your trust.
Right, right.
From your people. Okay, and what about believable?
Again, just as a mini review, believable meaning acting with integrity, and the three subcomponents are honesty, values, and fair process. So maybe you need something as simple as creating a mission, vision, and value statement for your organization. Because values, what are your values? Values-based management. What are you letting your values be as a manager being known, as well as the values of the organization. Maybe you need some ethics training for believable. Some acting with integrity. Maybe a subcomponent of believable is the fair process, treating people equitably and ethically. Maybe it's ethics training. Maybe people need a review in ethics. Treating people equitably doesn't necessarily mean equally. It means more fairly, not showing favoritism of one over the other.
And I think that can really be a bugaboo, for lack of a better word, when it comes to some leadership and management styles of the definition of wealth. I treat everybody fairly, I need to treat everybody the same. And by definition, and I like the idea that fair is a four-letter F word, because when you treat everyone the same, then you are not being fair, because every person is different with different experience, different strengths, different needs. And so I love the word equitable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Equitable doesn't necessarily mean equal.
Mm-hmm. Great ideas. And finally, what are some actions around ABLE?
Okay. Again, a quick review. ABLE, demonstrating competence, and the three components under that are expertise, performance results, and facilitation skills. Maybe in the eyes of your followers, you just don't know all it takes to get a job done. So maybe you need to bone up on what their jobs are to understand what they have to go through. Maybe you need some job technical skills. Maybe they don't think that you're a good leader or manager. So maybe you need to take some management courses, coaching skills, maybe problem solving and decision making. They feel as if you're lacking.
Okay. And interesting thought that I had as I was listening to that. If you have an area in your work description that you maybe are not as strong at, if you can delegate to somebody who does know, does that help with the trust in the area of ABLE?
Yes. Yes, it will, providing you give them the guidance that they need, providing you are competent in your delegation.
Okay. Cynthia, you do conduct seminars around this concept of trust and how to increase trust, correct?
That is correct. And
With
each one of these, and I know what your question was going to be, was how long. It really depends on the needs of the customers. Most of the courses, and again, from my earlier sessions, there are three levels. There's myself as a trust builder for the individual contributor. There's the leader as a trust builder for leaders. And then if you have a team that is stuck because you think that trust is an issue, that the team cannot move forward because of trust issues, there is a session for teams. Most of them are 2 to 3 hours. They all incorporate an assessment. The leader course does have a 360-degree assessment. So the leader can give it out to a number of people on their staff to get a sense of where their trust strengths are, where their trust boosters and trust busters are. And these courses can be either standalone or they can be built in with leadership development courses. And I have done both. I've given myself as a trust builder session to individual contributors over the lunch hour. And then I've built the leader as a trust builder into 3 and 4 day leadership development programs. So it really depends on the need of the individual organization.
Okay. And if people are interested in connecting with you, Cynthia, to learn more, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Probably email is the best because of my travel schedule. I try to get back to everyone with via email within 24 hours. And my email address is C Rogers Assoc, that's CROGERSASSOC at AOL.com.
Awesome. And you have written several articles on style and trust. They are available at brainbonanza.com if you click on the links and freebies. So they're there for you to read more about the July 6th session on style, this information on trust, and the August 10th session live on when style meets trust. Cynthia, what are, in our last few minutes, one or two key messages you'd like listeners to take away from our interview about trust?
I think the most important thing is that now you have your awareness raised of what trust is, and you also have your awareness raised that trust means different things to different people, and it's more than just doing what you say you were going to do, that it does have 3 other components other than dependability. And I think now you all have the 4 element of trust model in your management or in your life toolkit, and you can pull out that tool whenever you need it.
Awesome. Cynthia, thank you so much for taking the time to share your expertise in this series.
It's been my pleasure, Melanie, and I do thank you for the opportunity of sharing one of my many passions with your audience.
And listeners, please take action on something that you've heard or learned today to spark a positive change in your trust and in your relationships. I hope you come back August 10th for our 3rd session with Cynthia Live, when style meets trust. And until next time, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Ms. Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.